Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Time for a little of your comments from the Issues Etc. comment line. This is a line that we leave open for all of our listeners, but especially those beloved on-demand listeners who listen a little out of time, have questions, comments, things to add, show suggestions, criticisms, 618-223-8382. That's the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. It's there for you 24 hours a day. You could call it anytime you want. Let's begin with some feedback from our recent interview with Greg Kokel on theistic evolution.
This is Mark from Kearney, Nebraska. Was listening to your interview regarding theistic evolution. And the theistic evolution, from what I have understood, means that God does not interact with his creation. He just set the things in motion, let them go, and let the chips fall where they may, and everything evolved as it were, and we're all here. But such a philosophy precludes the possibility of God sending his Son to rescue us from our sin, and that is dangerous to deny Christ. And for that reason, theistic evolution and Christianity are not compatible. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for that comment. Actually, in our conversation with Greg Kokel on theistic evolution, he teased out a couple variations on that. There are theories in theistic evolution that say that God front-loaded the process with all the information, the genetic information necessary for evolution to run on its own. There are those who have a kind of semi-guided process, or that God is there steering these allegedly unguided process of evolution along, and none of them hold any theological water. I think that's one of the cases that Greg made, but he also made the case that if you want to be serious about the term evolution, none of them hold evolutionary water either, because by definition, and that is the definition accepted by the advocates of evolution, the process is necessarily unguided. The process is necessarily hands-off. So in the most radical theistic evolution, you might have a God who just observes it occurring or gets everything ready at the beginning and then lets it go. Even then, that's not, strictly speaking, enough to define it as true evolution. A completely unguided process from the beginning to the end. So whether you approach it from the term theistic, or whether you approach it from the term evolution, it doesn't work. Theistic evolution is really, from either side of that perspective, a contradiction in terms. We'll be right back with a little bit more of your comments from the Issues Etc. comment line.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
It was the day after Christmas in 1538 when family and friends who were gathered around Luther's table heard him say, "There is no finer gift that a parent can give to a child than an education in the liberal arts." For over 100 years, St. Paul's Lutheran School in Brookfield, Illinois, has been emphasizing the six chief parts and the seven liberal arts, providing classical education in the Lutheran tradition. Visit our website at spbrookfield.org or call 708-485-0650.
Higher Things assists in cultivating, encouraging, and promoting a distinctively Lutheran identity among their youth and young adults. To fulfill this mission, this summer, Higher Things has three conferences. You can find out more about these conferences at fromabove2013.org. The winter issue of Higher Things magazine is now available. This is a topical issue on church and state that you can read in its entirety on our website, higherthings.org.
Islam, worship, feminism, pietism, postmodernism. You can meet and hear Issues Etc. regular guests discussing these topics at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Registration is $100 per person. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14 and 15 in Collinsville, Illinois, issuesetc.org.
Continuing education for the confessional Lutheran. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
I want to give you a look inside the seedy world of abortionists. Michigan abortionist Robert Alexander's filthy mill was shut down by health authorities. In a stack of affidavits against him, a witness saw him walk an obviously drugged woman across the street from his mill and leave her there. Pro-lifers found her sitting in a parking lot two blocks away. She couldn't even speak, and an ambulance was called. The abortionist said it was her own fault for not bringing a driver. This guy's accused of stealing money from his drug patients and doing unauthorized abortions without even running water. The disgusting conditions he's worked in are beyond family radio. There are 17 pages of notarized affidavits against him. Worse yet, there are many abortionists similar to him, and yet there's total silence from pro-abortion activists.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
If you call, I will answer. If you follow.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're responding to some of your comments from the Issues Etc. comment line. A little bit later, we'll be talking about the Hindu pilgrimage to the Ganges River. Pastor Stanis Stanley will be our guest. And then in hour two, Jesus is anointed in Luke chapter 7. Pastor Tom Baker will be with us for the entire second hour teaching that Sunday school lesson. Here's a comment about what Jesus would brew.
It's Andy from Kirkwood, and I'm reading from the March 9th, Saturday edition of the Wall Street Journal. A front page, a story, I'm starting with the fourth paragraph. Pastor Matt Bestayi, who started Valley Church 3 years ago, says the goal of what would Jesus brew isn't to be churchy, but rather to reach out to people in a loving, grace-filled way that meets people where they are and as they are. Valley Church is one of several congregations around the country tapping the growing craft beer trend as a way to attract new members. The number of American adults who consider themselves unaffiliated with any particular religion has grown from 15% to 20% in the last 5 years, according to Pew Research Center, and so forth and so on. So they're thinking about beer as a unifying factor here. The hardest thing in the church is reaching out to people my age, says Jake Shiriff, a 23-year-old in black frame glasses who plays guitar in the band at Valley Church. Meanwhile, craft breweries have popped up all over the country, and home brewing has become become increasingly popular members in the, well, and it goes on. So there it is. The latest trend is what would Jesus brew?
Thank you very much for the comment. Well, the only thing I could think during Andy's comment there was, you know, it was only a matter of time, right? The church has been playing bait and switch with all sorts of gimmicks, all sorts of ideas. Let's get them in with this. And it's kind of like they come for the beer, but they stay for the Jesus kind of a thing. Now, sometimes they actually get to Jesus, and a lot of times they don't. They just stay with the beer. I have no problem with Christians gathering together to enjoy a microbrew or something like that, but let's not call it church, okay? It's no substitute for church. Church isn't what this is. Part of kind of another expression of church as you define it. Church is whatever I want it to be. Church is whatever they want it to be, whatever whoever shows up wants it to be. That's a great principle for marketing, shaping your product to fit the your audience or your target demographic's desires. But for the church has a definition apart from whatever you want it to be. It's centered around the word and the sacraments. There's no come for the beer and stay for the Jesus.
This is Herman calling, and I wanted to comment on you play the irate atheist caller who's always said, well, issues, et cetera, has some interesting things, but Jesus isn't coming back. It would be interesting to contrast his statements with recently Bill O'Reilly interviewing the producers like Roma Downey of the Bible series on the History Channel. And Bill O'Reilly was trying to force them to say, well, more or less, you can have your little Bible stories if they're only allegories and not true because of the authority of science trumps them. Both that caller and Bill O'Reilly are probably on the same page with the assumption that science is a supreme godlike epistemology that rules on everything, which is an intellectual fallacy, and I would seriously doubt that either of them really know what science is. And I believe Greg Kokel is going to be on today to address Christian leaders who are giving in to theistic Darwinian evolution. It just shows that they are not up to speed apologetically in doing this. The evidence against evolution is going stronger. It's never been proven, and the scriptures are firmly testimonies of evidence of historical truth that were divinely revealed and entering real history, and they stand on that ground and cannot be evaluated by assumptions that are erroneous, that miracles don't happen, that are done at a time much 1,700 years later to the effect or more in evaluating the claims of the Bible that in their time have all the evidence in their favor. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much for the comment as well. I think you're quite right that often when the science flag is raised up the flagpole, most people raising it really don't have any idea what science is or what science has actually said, real, genuine, observational science. But the other thing, since you bring in the issue of the Bible miniseries there, that's one of the few things that I will commend the producers of the Bible series for having done, and that is having approached the Bible as it presents itself, as genuine narrative of real events that actually occurred, not as myth, not as legend, not as allegories, but as history.